Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As all the lunacy of the back-to-back convention weeks finally ratcheted down, I called up a man uniquely qualified to deal with these events. My friend, my colleague, Andy Borowitz. He writes the Borowitz Report for The New Yorker. So, Andy, kind of a transition from one week to the next. We've gone from Blade Runner convention to what?
Well, it's the Hillary convention, and the biggest challenge of nominating Hillary Clinton is that you have as the star of the show Hillary Clinton. And she, to take a direct quote from her, she says, "I'm not a natural politician," which sort of makes you question her choice of career in a way, because like I am not a natural, harmonica player. And so I've like avoided jobs that require harmonica skills. I think the DNC and the way they've staged this, they've borrowed a strategy that was used a lot in music videos in the 80s. Like if you had the star of the show was somebody like Phil Collins or Steve Winwood who could not really move or dance, you would just surround them with lots of great dancers and bodies flying through the frame. And that's basically what they've done in this convention. You've got like Bill and Joe and Michelle and Barack and weird old Mike Bloomberg. And they've really distracted attention away from the fact that the star of the show is Hillary.
Mike Bloomberg was a little weird, wasn't he?
He is by far my favorite thing about this convention.
Do tell.
He kind of helicoptered in from the planet Bloomberg. He got down there and basically said, "Donald Trump is not a real billionaire. I'm a real billionaire. He sucks." And then he got out. Like, he just flew away. And it's like, what was that?
Do you think it sealed the billionaire vote?
Well, I think just people love to observe billionaire on billionaire violence. It's so rare to see it. And I think that people enjoyed it. They just enjoyed
it. Billionaire on billionaire violence.
That's right.
The one thing I could not have imagined for the world of me was the fact that you'd have a James Bond plot. Going that there's a Russian element, a Putin-Trump bromance.
Yeah, a little bit Tom Clancy was good. Now, I wanted to talk to you about that because you're sort of a Russian hand. I know you've written at least one book on Russia. I have Googled Russia, so we're coming at it from slightly different angles. But I wanted to get your take. Obviously, Putin is very much his hand, is very much of the levers of power here, but do you feel like he's trying to help the Republicans or help the Democrats? Do you have any hot take on that?
Oh, I think Putin is much happier with the idea of a Trump presidency. First of all, he resents the United States enormously.
Right.
It resents it fantastically. You know, thinks of the 90s as a great humiliation in which we were laughing at drunk Boris Yeltsin, and now we're telling him not to go into Ukraine, which is in his sphere of influence. They hate Hillary Clinton.
Right.
They hate the Clintons because the Clintons were in power during the 90s when everything was going south for Russia. It was chaotic and it was humiliating in world affairs and at home. And now Hillary Clinton is on the edge of the White House. He doesn't want to see that. He wants to see the United States as destabilized and as distracted and crazy as possible.
Well, I thought you might say that because I've also Googled you. But I think it's questionable because I think everything Putin did this week really helped the Democrats.
You know, last week we described the Republican convention as dystopic and bleak and fear-mongering and all the rest. And I think we were joined by the entire commentariat in that. And his numbers went way up. And his poll numbers in some areas have passed Hillary Clinton. And there's a kind of general freak out among the Democrats. Do you think that Hillary will regain ground in the polls because of the smoothness of the week, the relative smoothness of the week?
It was kind of a love-in. It was sort of a love convention. And it was also a convention where when somebody did something incredibly cheesy and sentimental and you said, "Oh my God, they're not going to do that. That's never going to work," it somehow did work. I mean, I sort of came away believing in the audacity of cheese, because I think, like, especially we have to talk about Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton, when he said, you know, 40 years ago, I met a girl, and he was like, "Oh my God, he's actually going to."
Oh no, it was worse than that. It was worse than that. He starts talking, and then I tapped her on the shoulder, and you're going to get his his seduction technique, and you just thought, oh my God, I know I'm not the only one thinking this. Don't go down this route. I don't want to hear how you picked up girls.
No, it was and just was like walking in on your parents having sex. I mean, you know they do. You just didn't want to hear the details. And he went on and tried to make it seem like Bill and Hillary were one of the greatest love stories of all time. And I was hearing, I was thinking, are people buying this? And sure enough, you know, that night on social media, I saw so many Democrats were just completely in love with it. So that did show the power of cheese. I mean, it just,
it does work. It's also the power of what you want to hear. I mean, I have no problem with people having a complex marriage. God knows marriage is complex, and theirs is just famously so. And people who are going to watch the Republican convention and want Trump to do well are going to see it far differently than the opposite. But I just thought that speech, you know, starting off, I met a girl, and it was something very old-fashioned and not a good way, the way it started off. But then it kicked into really high gear and talked about the depth of her accomplishments and what she's cared about.
That was good. It was good. Although the one thing I would say about, you know, these conventions are all about the reinvention of the candidate. And basically the message of these conventions tends to be whatever you thought about the candidate going in, the exact opposite is actually true. And so like last week we heard and we talked about it, famously misogynistic Donald Trump is actually America's foremost feminist. We learned that.
And from his daughter, we heard that.
Exactly. But this week, the message seemed to be from speaker after speaker, you think that Hillary Clinton has been a single-minded careerist her entire life, and actually, she spends most of her time visiting people in hospitals. That's really how she spends most of it. It's like 90% hospital visits, 10% career.
Andy, thank you, and will you promise to be with us on the nights of the debates? Because those are not to be missed.
Absolutely. And I assume we're going to be doing the same thing when Jill Stein is nominated for the Green Party, because that's going to be amazing.
Maybe at less length. Andy, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Andy Borowitz writes the Borowitz Report, and you can find it at NewYorker.com. I'm David Remnick, and you're listening to the New Yorker Radio Hour. Stick around.
We didn't even talk about Joe Biden saying malarkey.
Malarkey is such a good word.
I loved malarkey.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.